Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and my next guest has a new book that's an intimate portrait of the lives of transgender men, a group that has been until recently relatively invisible. In fact, it used to be thought that trans people are more often those who go the other way, male to female. Arlene Stein writes about how trans men's transitions has affected them and their communities. She's a professor of sociology at Rutgers and a writer whose new book is called Unbound, Transgender Men and the Remaking of Identity. Hi, Professor Stein. Welcome to WNYC.
Hello.
And Professor Stein is joined by Ben Shepherd, one of the people whose stories she tells in the book. Ben, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
So, Professor Stein, this book largely focuses, obviously, on transgender men who, you write, were somewhat invisible for a long while, and until relatively recently, even people involved in the community thought there were way fewer transgender men than transgender women. Did that turn out to statistically be wrong?
No, I think it's true that until recently, the numbers of people who are able to transition from femaleness to maleness has been actually much smaller than those who are able to transition the other way.
Able to?
Yes. They didn't have access to the kinds of bodily modifications that transgender women had access to. They didn't have access to the resources that they needed in order to make the, you know, very difficult sometimes decision to transition. And it's only really been in the last few decades that we've seen the rise of transgender men.
And Ben, when you were growing up with the gender you were assigned, which was female, I gather you didn't even really know what being transgender was. So what would you say to anyone listening who has questions or uncertainties about their own assigned gender?
I think that's a great question. I know for me, it took meeting other trans folks and recognizing that I wasn't alone. I think a lot of my growing up, I thought that there was something wrong with me, or there was this, you know, not really being able to articulate what I was feeling and struggling with. And when I was able to kind of put a name to that, it made me realize, oh, I'm, you know, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm not crazy. I'm not any of these things. Like that this is, you know, there are options out there.
And Professor Stein, you're right about how a person's gender is never just an individual thing. It involves lots of people. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Well, we grow up in families. We grow up in communities. We grow up in relation to peers and teachers and authority figures of all sorts. And the world as it is organized into two categories, male and female. And there's a lot of pressure placed on individuals to conform to one or the other.
And so you use the term in the book, gender dissidence. Mm-hmm. Dissident is such a strong and political word, it almost makes it sound like, well, people are deciding that they're not the gender that they were assigned at birth by choice.
Mm-hmm. Well, many people believe that they have a choice to claim a transgender identity. Maybe they feel gender variant, but they don't necessarily see that as a political identity. Some people believe it is a political identity. Other people just think of it as something that is just the way they are. There's a wide variety of different understandings of what transgender means.
Where are you on that scale, Ben?
That's a great question. So I think for me, I definitely, and actually this is a conversation that Arlene and I had about identity and where I landed. And I feel like in terms of, you know, male versus femaleness, you know, in terms of my mind and my spirit, I definitely feel a little closer to obviously the masculine side. So if it was a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give myself a 6 or a 7 on if 10 was masculine. In terms of my body, I definitely feel like a 10, and I feel very grateful and fortunate that that's an opportunity I've had to be able to align my physical self with.
But the term mm-hmm. gender dissident, because people who may want to put down the whole thing as, you know, deviant or whatever they want to call it, might say, well, you know, just be who you are, meaning be who you were born as or assigned to at birth. if it's a choice, then it's a political statement. So gender dissident, how does that term strike you?
I mean, I think for me, I think that it's accurate that sometimes to be yourself, you do have to kind of strike against what society deems is normal or healthy, right? I think
so that's the context of dissident.
Right. Yes.
And one of the things that Professor Stein writes about you is about how your family took the news that you planned to transition. So Professor Stein was just talking about, you know, how, yeah, on one level we're individuals, but also we grow up in families, we grow up in communities. What were some common themes for you of family reaction?
Yeah, I think it was a journey, like this whole journey, even being part of the book, is definitely one that is unique to my family too. And I think everyone had and continues to have their own journey with it. I know for my parents, it was something that was very challenging, and that was something that I knew was going to be very challenging for them. I intentionally made the decision to move home and go through my transition with them, because to me, and this is just for me personally, felt really important to take them on that journey and have them be part of my transition, because I knew it would also help bring them along with me.
And Professor, you're right about how transgender culture and acceptance moved slowly for decades. Obviously it did. And recently, within a generation, there seems to have been a big shift in language and awareness and acceptance, although certainly acceptance is not as widespread as it could be. So what would you say to people who have a hard time understanding and accepting transgender people?
Well, there's a huge variety of different types of individuals of all sorts. We now understand sexuality to be a complex matter, and most of us believe that sort of homosexuality is something that is a way of being in the world that is acceptable. And in a similar way, people are understanding gender as something that exists on a spectrum. And there are many people who have been assigned a specific gender at birth who feel that as they get older, that gender does not reflect who they are. In a similar way, transgender people are creating a movement that reflects, and is an outgrowth of, in some sense, the gay and lesbian movement, and sort of takes it one step further.
Ben, you've worked, I see, as a political organizer and on campaigns. So where do you fall on the optimistic, pessimistic spectrum for trans rights and, for that matter, basic safety in this political environment?
I think in the current political environment, it's definitely it's definitely challenging for sure to get things passed. I think especially we see... There are multiple campaigns happening currently all across the country just for basic trans protections. And I think in the current political climate, it's also challenging. And I think it's challenging to be safe. And I think it's something that trans people, and especially folks that are gender nonconforming or don't have what one would call passing privilege, meaning that the public views them as they perceive their own identity to be, right? I think for those folks, it's a very dangerous place to be, where people who maybe aren't as knowledgeable or as accepting are feeling emboldened to speak their mind and sometimes act in violence. And
I'm sure you're disappointed with the president for at first running on, oh, anybody can use any bathroom that they identify with at Trump Tower. And now he's become kind of regressive on this in the White House, right?
Oh yeah, just the rhetoric that was used by Trump, and then also the his talking about banning trans folks from the military, and all of those pieces. I mean, those are all things that while yes, there are potential policy implications for that, but I think more so. I mean, that when you have somebody like a trans person that's sitting at home, maybe that's a kid that's sitting in rural America who doesn't have access or resources or support. When they hear those things, like, that hurts, And that, when we see these high rates of suicide in the trans community, it's because of. I mean, words hurt and words do have impact, and I think too often we lose sight of that.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there for today. My guests have been Arlene Stein, professor of sociology at Rutgers, whose new book is called Unbound, Transgender Men and the Remaking of Identity, and Ben Shepherd, one of the people whose stories she tells in the book. And if you want to meet Arlene Stein, she'll be at McNally, both of you? Okay, Arlene and Ben. They will be at McNally Jackson, the bookstore on North 4th Street in Williamsburg, tomorrow night, Wednesday, June 13th, at 7 p.m. So, Professor Stein and Ben Shepherd, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.